Acts chapter 4, in a message I've called Shaken, Filled, and Spilled. Acts chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 18 through 31 ultimately, but I just want to look at verses 18 through 22 to begin with, and we'll pray and then get right into the message there in the book of Acts. Acts 4, starting with verse 18. When you get there, if you're able to stand, let's stand for the reading of God's Word tonight. Acts chapter 4, starting with verse 18. And here the Bible says, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed." Father, we thank you for the reading of your scripture. I'm praying now that you help us as we go through the rest of this text, God, that you'll receive the glory from it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Well, I didn't have all the verses here for us to read, and I'm not going to go over each one of them like I'd like to. It would just be too time consuming. But I want to kind of catch us up to where we're at. We caught this story right in the middle of it. And so I want to kind of give you a little synopsis of what already took place and where we're at. And it begins there in chapter 2 of Acts chapter 2, and around verse 14, when Peter stands up and starts preaching on the day of Pentecost. Now, there's many Jews that's there in the audience. They had come from all over to observe the Feast of Pentecost, and he was preaching. Now, Peter, just before this, was involved with these men that had been up in an upper room, and they'd been praying, and the Holy Ghost fell upon them, and they were able to speak in tongues, and they saw the amazing tongues as if they were fire in front of them. And then they were beginning to be able to speak in different languages and things like that. And so a lot of things had happened. And so Peter stands up there to preach in front of all these Jewish people. These are Jews. Now, there was probably a few other people there, but the main congregation here was a bunch of Jews. And we know there was 3,000 at least there, because 3,000 received Christ as their Savior. But there were many more people around. And so Peter stands up and starts preaching. And suddenly that is when we see the New Testament church empowered. The New Testament church began with Jesus and his disciples. Remember, he looked at Peter and said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." That's where the church was established, and then it was empowered at Pentecost. Right here, when Peter preached, the Holy Spirit came down. These people were filled. First, they were pricked in their heart, and these people were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all baptized, and what a wonderful day that was. What a glorious time, and that's when our New Testament church, as we know it, was empowered. And so, immediately after that, Acts chapter 3, verse 1, we find that Peter and John are going up in the temple to pray. That was what they did in that day still. They were not going into the homes like they will here eventually when they get scattered. But they were still following the Jewish customs and going to the temple on the prescribed times. And so Peter and John are going to the temple to pray. And as they approach the gate of the temple, there is a man there who is lame. And he's begging for alms. He's begging for money as Peter and John comes by. And like any other preacher, they didn't have any money to give him. And so they said, "We don't have any money, but we've got something else for you." And that man was miraculously healed by the power of the Holy Ghost from being lame. And he got up and he walked and he jumped, he leaped and he ran, and just like he had new legs. And so this man receives and healed, and everybody knew this man. They passed him every day, going into the temple every time they prayed. Here he is, begging for money. And so when they saw him, they realized this was a miracle that was wrought by God, and it was enabled because these men, Peter and John, were the ones that administrated the miracle through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so they were being now looked at very, very closely. And so they come into the temple, and Peter starts preaching. Acts chapter 3 and 12, Peter sees this great opportunity all of a sudden to start preaching the gospel. Well, this is going to highly upset the leaders of the temple, the Jewish high leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, all these very elite men now are fixated on Peter and John because they are these two men that's done all this. And they start hearing this new message being preached about this Jesus Christ. Peter, of all things, goes and blames them for putting Jesus to death. And this Jesus whom you crucified. And so this has just really, really got them upset. But during his preaching, many people believe in Christ and are believing this. And so it's spreading like wildfire, the message of the gospel. And so Peter boldly explains to him it was because of their ignorance and the ignorance of the leaders that they crucified Jesus, and that they were the ones responsible for this. And so the next thing that happens in the beginning of this chapter we just started with, chapter 4, verse 1, here we have the temple leaders. They rush in, they take Peter and John and lock them up. Unfortunately for the temple leaders, the Bible says there was around 5,000 people believed because they heard the word of God being preached by Peter. And so now we've got, you see how the church is multiplying? Started out with 3,000, now it's 5,000. And before you know it, it's going to keep multiplying and multiplying. And thousands upon thousands of Jews are being saved through the power of Jesus Christ, through the gospel. And so Peter and John are now brought forth. They can't officially be arrested because they've not really done anything wrong. And so, but they're kind of inquisition. They come and get them and take them off into a side room. They can't do anything in front of all the people. The people will riot, of course, if they find out. And so with this great miracle taking place and all these people witnessing it, they're in a predicament. So they have to round up the Sanhedrin court to come together to kind of give a little, kind of a trial. It's not a real legal trial, but it's kind of a questioning. Like I said, an inquisition. And so they're afraid of the backlash from everybody. And so they decide to, instead of beating them or instead of imprisoning them or doing something to them, they're just going to beat them and release them and command them not to ever, 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 ever preach again in the name of Jesus. And that's where we picked up tonight, verse 18. They called them, commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. That's what it says. But did you see what they said in return? But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. And in verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You see, it was so real to John and Peter that they said, listen, it doesn't matter what you do to us. It don't matter if you tell us, if you sew our mouths shut, we're still going to preach Jesus. That we can't help but do it. And so if that's wrong, it be judged between you and God. If that's the wrong thing to do, we are not going to obey you. We're going to go out and preach anyway. And that's just how it is. And so verse 21, when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old. They're talking about the man that was healed, the lame man, on whom the miracle of healing was showed. And so there was no casting doubt on what had happened. I mean, it was no, I mean, they couldn't do nothing about it. They couldn't deny it because everybody saw it. And so they, you know, their hands are tied at this point. They don't know what to do. And so all that was introduction. Now look at verse 23. Here's what happens when we find the church being persecuted against. And that's what's happening here. They're getting persecuted. Their preachers, their pastors are the ones that's been persecuted. They've been taken, they've been threatened, they've been beaten, they've been told not to preach again in Jesus' name. And so they're being, you know, this is not going good. And so what happens? Verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against the holy child Jesus, whom thou anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, I don't have time to cover each one of these verses like I'd love to. I'd love to exposit on every one of those. But I do want to look at some key points to those very quickly on this message. Shaken, filled, and spilled. Did you see what happened? The very first thing, when they were let go, the Bible says they went to their own company. What that means is other believers. That would have been the other disciples. That would have been their church members. And so they come to those that they share something with in common, Jesus. And they explain it to them. You'll never believe what happened to us. They took us in there, persecuted us, told us we could never preach in Jesus' name. So what did they do immediately? Immediately, they began praying. They didn't sit down and try to concoct some kind of scheme. Oh, we'll show them. I tell you what, we're going to file a lawsuit. Oh, you know what we're going to do? We'll sneak in there tonight and we'll take care of those guys. Now, that's what the world does. The world, when the world gets persecuted, they look for any way to try to defend themselves, try to do something, you know, to get back, revenge. But that's not how the church works. That's not how Christians work. When something comes against us, the first thing we do is we get down and we pray to the Lord. These people were praying so hard and so boldly that the whole place started shaking. Now, I don't know what that was like. I would love to experience that. I'd love to experience the power of prayer amongst God's people so much that this building shakes until the chandeliers fall off the ceiling. And then we wouldn't have to worry about replacing the bulbs in them, would we? I wouldn't mind at all to see this place shaking. You know, we must notice that prayer is a very important part of the early church. And many times when we see people are going through something, you know, we'll throw out that expression, "I'll pray for you." You know, people say, "Pray for me." "I'll pray for you." And that's about as far as you've ever went with it. You didn't pray for them. I'm not saying you didn't ever pray for them. But I'd say 9 times out of 10, when most people say, "I'll pray for you," that's about as far as they've took it. And I've been guilty of it. You know, somebody will tell me something, I'll say, "Yeah, I'll pray for you," and forget all about it. Now you say, "Well, that's awful. You're pastor." Yeah, I know. Well, you're a Christian, aren't you? And you won't tell me I'm the only one that's ever done that. I think people do it an awful lot. It's kind of become a cliche these days. "Pray for me." Okay, I'll pray for you. "Pray for me." And it's just something that people say now. But do we earnestly and honestly, when somebody wants us to pray for them, do we drop down and start praying? Do we start right immediately? We need to. I've been making an effort to do that. Anytime somebody comes to me with a prayer request, I'll have it right there in my head and I'll be thinking about it. I most of the time try to write it down so I can remember it. But friends, when somebody asks you to pray for them, you need to pray for them. And so if we're not doing that, we need to start doing better. We need to pour our heart and soul out for these people to God on their behalf. And one of the things that we need to do when we're doing that, we can follow the example of the church, is they prayed spiritually. Did you notice that? Everything that they prayed, they were actually quoting Scripture during their prayer. And there's a lot of people that can do that. A lot of people have a lot of Scripture committed to memory. And when they pray, they'll use a lot of Scripture in their prayers. I know some pastors that are able to do that very well. But this is what they said in verse 24. "And when they heard that, they lifted their voice to God with one accord and said, 'Lord, Thou art God, which has made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things?'" And so what they were doing, they were quoting from the Psalms. Psalm 146 and 6 says, "Which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all therein is, which keepeth truth forever." And in Psalm 2 and 1, "Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine the vain thing?" And so they were approaching the Lord scripturally and spiritually. And so when they come to Him, they mean business. And I'm not saying we always have to quote Scripture when we pray. You don't have to. I mean, you can pray to the Lord without having to quote Scripture. But I believe, you know, if we have to commit His words to our heart, then those words ought to come off our tongue when we're speaking to Him. And so He, like we were talking about, these promises that God gives us, promises all through the Bible of things that He's prepared for us and things He'll do for us. Just example, he tells us that He cares for us and to cast all of our cares upon Him. And I hold to that one a lot. I mean a lot. And so when I'm going through something, I quote that as much as I can. I say, "Lord, You said in Your word that You care for me and to cast all my cares upon You." And so He don't have to be reminded, but it helps me to just remember God's promises. And so we ought to approach prayer for people and ourselves spiritually and scripturally. And we need to pray specifically. My dad was always a big believer in that, to specifically pray for names. You know, it's very easy to say, "Pray for our missionaries." Well, that's, you know, we support, well, now we've got about 14, I believe, 14 missionaries that we support. And so we can say, "Pray for our missionaries," and you could just give it a roundabout prayer, "Lord, we're praying for our missionaries." But when we get down and start calling out their names, you know, Gary and Pam Tyler, Alan and Becky Jackson. You know, we start calling off their names. It means it's a little different. It makes it more personal. And so we're coming to God in an intercessory type of prayer, asking for prayer for certain people. You know, when Sister Charlotte said, pray for Brother Joe, he's going for a test or a procedure on Thursday. You know, I'm not going to say, Lord, I'm praying for one of my church members. Would you help that church member? And I'm going to say, would you help Brother Joe? Would you be with the surgeon? Would you be with the procedure? Lord, would it be a success for Brother Joe? And use those names. And when people give you a name, that's why I like for people to give me names. When you come and say, you know, I've got a friend that's got a problem, would you pray for? Would you please give me their name so I can at least call their name out to the Lord? You know, whatever it is. And so we need to pray specifically. And this church, when they came to pray, they asked for specific things. Look at verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants, here's the request, that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They specifically prayed for boldness. You know, they could have said, would you just help our preachers? Would you help them be able to preach? Would you make it to where they're not being arrested when they preach? No, they said, we want these men to preach with boldness. And so they prayed for that. And I believe as God's people, we need to be very specific in our prayers. And I know the Lord knows already before we ask Him. He knows. But He wants to hear it from you. You know, I love to hear from my kids. If I don't ever hear from them and I have to hear something from somebody else, I don't like it. I want to hear it from them. You know, and so our Heavenly Father, even though He knows what you're going to pray before you even pray it, He wants to hear it from you. He's your Father. You're His child. You need to talk to Him. And we need to let the Lord know that we mean business. You know, I mean business, Lord. I'm coming here specifically asking for something. I'm asking for your help. I'm asking for help with Alan and Becky Jackson. They're leaving the mission field. Lord, would you go with them to Evansville, Indiana? Would you help them in that new church that he's pastoring? Lord, would you bless that ministry? I used to go to church with a man and loved this man to death. Him and his wife, they were great friends of ours at that church. And he came in one time. And he announced to the church that he'd been diagnosed with cancer. And it wasn't just a little small cancer. It was one of those where he didn't think he was going to live. I mean, out of the blue, he just comes in and announces it. We were crushed. He was crushed. The whole family was. I mean, we were devastated. And I got it on my heart to start praying for this man. And I went home that day, and I got on the bed, and I laid there, and I closed my eyes, and I started praying, and I was praying to the Lord, and I prayed harder than I've ever prayed in my entire life for that man. And during that prayer, there was a feeling that came over me that I cannot even describe to you. Now, listen, I know a lot of people get all uneasy when you start talking about how the Holy Spirit works, but I want you to know I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit while I was praying like I'd never felt before. And I knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that God heard my prayer, and I couldn't wait to go back to church the next time and hear what he had to say, because I already knew the answer. We went back that next service. He said, I went back to the doctor. They checked me again. They said I was 100% clear of cancer. That was 25 years ago. That man and his wife came to our church just a few months ago, sat right back there behind me and Mary. Still going good. And friends, you know, I'm not up here saying that I did that. I didn't do nothing. All I did was pray and knew the Lord was listening. And listen, friends, we need to get specific and pray for specific things from God. And I asked God, I said, God, would you take that cancer away from him? If it means giving it, and I told him, I said, if it means giving it to me, take that cancer away from him. And I specifically asked him, and this man's cancer was taken away. Listen, we can expect results from our prayers. Verse 31 of our text, the Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. When they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You see that? They were shaken, filled, and spilled. Their prayers were answered. Their specific prayers, their spiritual prayers, their scriptural prayers, and with boldness, they asked the Lord for help, and that's what he did. He helped them. And so their prayers went direct to the ear of God through the Lord Jesus, and he answered them. And like I said, I don't know what it was like when that place shook. I don't know if it was just the ground or the building, whatever it was, but boy, the place shook, and everybody knew it. And I want to declare to you tonight that we have great power through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, some people, when you hear that phrase, Holy Ghost, they get all worried and scared and wondering what in the world's going on down there. Listen, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Bible is very clear. There is great power through the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not saying we're Benny Hinn's. We can take our jacket off and hit somebody and heal them. He can't either. That's phony baloney. But I do want you to know there is power in prayer. There's power in the Lord. There's power through the Holy Spirit. And I believe one of the reasons we don't see it as much as what we ought to be seeing it is because of the way that we tend to live our lives. We don't live lives that are looking for God to work. We don't live lives, a clean life, be a clean vessel. We don't live a life where we're close enough to God where we can even understand when something like that happens. And so what we need to do is get ourselves straightened out so that we're living a life that we need to be living in front of God. So when these times do come and we start praying, we too see the same power that these people saw. It's the same Holy Ghost. He's not changed. It's the same. And if you believe that, friends, you ought to believe what the Bible says. There's great power through the Holy Ghost. Now, I tell you what, can you imagine what a difference it'd make if each one of us would approach the Lord with our prayers as they did in the early church? I believe we'd see this church do great things. I believe if all churches, if everybody that calls himself a Christian would commit themselves to be like this early New Testament church, we would see churches, we'd see revival break out, we'd see families healed, we'd see great miracles happen, people getting healed of diseases. I believe we would see all that if we would just believe God's Word and follow through with what His Word says. Listen, we need to see souls saved. We need to see families being healed and things. Prayer changes things. You know, that saying used to be big a long time ago. You know, prayer changes things. Prayer changes everything. And we need to believe that. Too many times we're hit with problems and burdens and we'll forget to pray. Well, look at Peter and the early church. They've been trying to witness and to do good, and they were forbidden to even speak the name of Jesus. They're religious leaders. Don't you ever preach the name of Jesus. Most of us, you know what we do? Oh, I guess I can't ever say anything about Jesus anymore. Yeah, they've done said so. And what's going to happen one day when the government comes in here and says, listen here, you can't be preaching that out of that Bible like that. You can't be saying those things. That's hate speech. Because it's happening right now. Up in Canada, a preacher can get arrested for preaching the gospel on the street. Hey, it's going to happen here one of these days. These guys that go down here and preach on the street corner in Knoxville, they were telling me there were some laws in Lenore City that are different than they are in Knoxville, and there's certain things that they're not allowed to do and say down there on the street corners in Lenore City. And so you be watching it. The government's going to pass laws and things that where we say something that goes against what they claim is hate speech or whatever, and you'll be seeing some preachers arrested. You'll be seeing some real Christians getting persecuted over what they say out of the Word of God. But listen, friends, when we get hit with burdens and problems, something like that happens, we need to get down and pray and say, God, we need you to step in right here. Hey, you know what's going on. You know what this government's trying to do. You know the laws they've passed. God, would you do something about it? Would you, Lord, would you intervene right here? Would you intercede and make something happen about this? If we would all do that, friends, God, He loves to help His children. And so we need to approach Him that way. We need to hit our knees in prayer. What happens when we pray? Well, what happened when they prayed? The place was shaken. Friends, we need to shake some things up with our prayers tonight. We need to start shaking the building, whatever it takes. We need to shake it up. If you want to see change, you want to see this place filled up, you want to see families, you want to see a bustling, I'm not talking about we're, doing everything in our power to get the church filled up. You know, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that at all. I believe the Lord is the one that builds the church, and I believe He builds it based upon what on how we treat His Word and what we do with His Word and what we do with our lives as Christians. And so we need to get sincere with the Lord and be praying. I told you in the bulletin there, I've got that verse, pray for laborers to come and help us. And if each one of us will be sincere, if just the people that's in here tonight will be sincere about that, I fully believe that God will answer our prayers. And so we need to, we need to see the place shaken. Old Paul and Silas down the bottom of the Roman jail, they were singing hymns down there. And the place shook. Shook the bars off the place. We get filled with the Holy Ghost. And like I tell you, Baptists are afraid of that word. But everybody that gets saved has the Holy Ghost inside of them. Whether you like it or not, He lives in you if you're saved. And you better like it, because he's the one that guides you. He's your conscience now. He's your guide. He's your GPS. And so we need to be acquainted with him. I think that's the biggest problem with most Christians. They're not acquainted with the Holy Ghost that lives inside of them. They treat them like that story I told you where the person has the guest that moves in, and they put them in a room out back, and they never see them, never talk to them, nothing like that. They don't know anything about them, you know? A lot of people are treating the Holy Ghost that way. He lives inside of them. They just kind of got a door shut in the back room. They don't know who he is, don't talk to him, don't know anything about him. Listen, we need to get acquainted with the Holy Ghost. And if we'll live the way that we need to live, a scripturally based life, then you'll get acquainted with him. And we'll see some things happen. But our lack of prayer these days, listen, friends, I believe that's one of our biggest downfalls, is our lack of prayer. Some people say that church prays too much. They pray at least 5-6 times in a service. We probably don't pray enough. The Lord said this was a house of prayer. If we come in here and prayed for a solid hour and didn't have any preaching or singing, it'd be all right with me. And so, listen, we need to get sincere with the Lord. Well, what happened to them? They become bold in Christ. We too can be bold in Christ. We can pray for it. If you're not bold about Christ, if you feel too scared to talk to people about him, you need to pray the Lord and help you. Say, Lord, help me overcome my shyness, overcome this timidness that I have to be able to tell people about you, because I want to tell people about you. Lord, would you help me with it? And if you're sincere about it, he'll help you with it. He'll be right there with you. He don't leave you alone. You know, a lot of people think they go witness, they're all by themselves. No, you're not. You've got the Lord with you, and he's there for you. Listen, I know this message has been kind of fast, but I believe we got the point across. We need to model ourselves after that first century church. Be more like that. Live more like that. The Bible said they had all things in common. You know, and I believe that's what we need. All things in common. Everybody thinking the same way, and that way is what the Bible says. If we all get that thought in our minds, live that life, we're all living the Christian life, we congregate together, we're all thinking with the same mind and one accord, I believe we'll see great things happen from God.